good evening and welcome to This Sickness Broadcast. So this is a low-room youth ministry. And I will gladly welcome you to the This Sickness session. We are honored and privileged to have you join. Please join me, please. At this moment, I'd like you to begin to speak in tongues wherever you are. Begin to stir up your spirit. Prepare yourself for the message and for the session that we're about to have. So wherever you are, like to speak in tongues right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So in the book of John chapter 6 verse 33, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking and mentioned, he said that it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh does not profit anything. And he says that the words I'm speaking to you, they are spirit and they are life. So today, we are going to hear words that are words, spirit and life. And in John, in 2 Corinthians verse number 6, he says something that's parallel to what was said in John 6, 33. He says that, who has also made us ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. This one, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Because the reason why we are ministers of the Spirit is this word, for the letter killeth, but what the Spirit liveth by. So today we are here for our session on the last day of our leadership seminar, our leadership summit. And we are asking that we treat the word that is coming into us. We are asking that we convert what the Spirit and life in this word for. Jesus has made us understand that the words that he speaks unto us, they are words, they are spirit and they are life. Don't want to come in here just merely test us. And in Corinthians, he said, you don't want to come in here merely test. It's just going to produce what death. But only that which we can have is what the spirit. And that spirit is what the word. So today, as we are about to receive, as we are about to hear God's good word for us, we are asking that today we contact with the spirit and life in those words. We are asking that we contact with the spirit and life in those words. We are asking that we contact with the spirit and life in those words. The words that are being ministered unto us, that is about to be ministered to our Father, that you as the people, that is the spirit and life in those words. For these words, they are spirit and they are life. Our passion to let the ocean
be.
Amen. So, amen. In the book of Romans, chapter number 1, verse number 10, Paul speaking to the Roman church, he says, for God is my witness. Romans chapter 1, verse 10 to 11, it says, for God is my witness, who myself with spirit and the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make intercession or I make mention of you in my prayers. Then number 10, it says, with making request, if by any means now at length I must have a proposition by the will of God to come unto you. And it says, the reason why I wanted to go to them, it says, was, so I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, that to the end you may be established. So he says, well, he was longing to see you with the church that was in Rome. And the reason he wanted to go and see them was that he can was impact some spiritual gifts unto them, that they may be established. Today we are welcoming a father of faith to minister unto us. And he has longed to see us, and he has purpose in his heart towards impact spiritual gifts unto us. So that what as a people we might be established, as a people we might be established. So as you are here, prepare your hearts to receive every spiritual impartation. Ask that the Lord grant unto you the heart that is receptive to receive every spiritual impartation and gifts that he has for you through our Father today. And the host of angels that are present here, ask, I teach you that That we as a people might be established today, his presence here at the Lord grant unto you the hearts to receive, the hearts to receive, the hearts to receive, the hearts to receive everything. Father Lord, we thank you for today. Good Father, we thank you for making us safe and sound to this session. Thank you for this opportunity to listen to Father Pete. Thank you that he has purpose in his heart to minister unto us and impart unto our spiritual case and understanding that we may be established. Today, open our minds and our hearts that we may understand our minds and our hearts every kind of instruction that might come in our cosmos and instructions and taking us and come in our instructions. And Lord, realize that we will trample the heart to receive the heart. We had to receive only the message that you have for us today. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, sure. So I'd like to introduce our pioneer leader, Sam Nicholas. He's a leader that the Lord committed his vision onto, and under which all of us seated here, all of us present, are serving under. So as a people, we are committed into stirring the fire of God upon the youth and this nation, as we believe there's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost for accomplishment of greater and greater works in this nation for the Lord Jesus Christ. So our purpose or our mandate is to stir the hearts of more people everywhere in this country. And from there we go out of this. So I'd like to hand over to our pioneer leader, St. Nicholas, to introduce our guest speaker for today. St. Nicholas.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have Apostle Benduku here. So I'm going to hand over to him. He's a serious man of God. He's one of the fathers of the nation. And the grace of God, God has made it, given us the privilege to have him now. Apostle Benduku.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I am so excited to have you with me this evening. And I also thank you for allowing me to come your way wherever you're listening to me. As you've been told already, my name is Apostle Benduku. And I'm here to share briefly with you on the topic leadership mission itself. Just one bit to thank you, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for allowing us to come into your presence tonight to hear from you. Blessed Holy Spirit, great teacher, we are ready to speak to us, Master. Your servants are willing to hear your voice. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for the grace of revelation that you have released upon us. Well, we're talking about leadership, submission, and service. Now, who is a leader? When we talk of a leader, we are talking about someone who charts a course and allow others to follow. So we're saying a leader is providing purpose and direction for people, and he must be mature. Because if you are not mature, you cannot be a leader. Now, maturity not in terms of age, but maturity in terms of your ability to be able to comprehend principles. Now, a tree is not determined, the maturity of a tree is not determined by its fruit, but is determined by It's not determined by its leaf, but it's determined by its fruit. It is the fruit that determines the maturity of a tree. Now, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, I will allow Nicholas to read for me. the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6.
Okay.
The Bible says he should not be a recent convert. He should not be a recent convert. Now, lest the enemy will take advantage of him. Okay, he will fall into pride and the devil will destroy him. So, who is a recent convert? A recent convert is somebody who just came into the kingdom not quite long, who is not well vested in scriptures, who doesn't have knowledge. Now, anybody who doesn't have knowledge, there's a possibility that he may fall into pride because, you see, when you begin to rise into a position of leadership, it is a time for you to begin to humble yourself because the higher you go, the lower you must become. That is the principle of the kingdom. And if the person is a recent convert who have no understanding, is not mature spiritually, he may think that leadership is an opportunity to be proud. And then he may fall into Satan's trap. Now, remember that anybody that falls into trap can become anything. Before the devil became the devil, he was first an angel. It was pride that reduces him and changed him into the devil. So no matter how beautiful, no matter how good, no matter how effective a person is, when he allows pride into his life, he can change into something else. So the Bible says that you should not allow a novice, because a novice can easily be tempted into the arena of pride. And once you enter into the arena of pride, there is a tendency that you fall, because that is what happened to Satan. And then when somebody begins to walk in pride, they also begin to operate by the principle of the devil. Once you begin to operate by the principle of Satan, you cannot operate by the principle of Satan and do the work of God. And so to save people from being destroyed prematurely, you don't put them into leadership until you are sure that they have begun to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. So you determine not by the gift. One's level of maturity is not determined by the gift of the Spirit, because the gift of the Spirit can manifest in any other person, anybody at all. No matter the age, no matter the whether the person is a recent convert or not. But then it takes maturity for a tree to bear. So when if you want to determine the maturity of a tree, you look at the time it begins to bear fruit. Then you can say, oh, this tree is now mature. Why? Because the fruits are beginning to show. It is not the leaves that determine the maturity of a tree. It is the fruit. So how will I know somebody is mature? I know somebody is mature by the kind of fruit it starts bearing. So until somebody gets to that point where he begins to bear spiritual fruit, he is not qualified to be a leader. That is what the Bible declares. So a leader must also know the way. He must know where he's going. So he must know the way, then go the way and show the way. So let's look at it again. Let's look at the sequence. Know the way, go the way, show the way. Now in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10, according to the scriptures, Ezra was a man with a passion to build the wall of Jerusalem. But then he also had a principle. And what was the principle? So according to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra, the Bible says,
Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law.
To number one, seek the law. You are not qualified to teach the word until you have prepared your heart to seek it.
Seek the law of the Lord.
Seek the law of the Lord.
And to do it.
And to do it.
And to teach it.
And to teach it. So look at the sequence. First of all, seek the word. Number two, practice what you have found and discovered. Number three, teach it. You don't seek the word. You don't read to teach. You read, you practice, and you teach. That is what leaders do. So let me put it again here. Leaders know the way, leaders go the way, and leaders show the way. And that is the principle that guided Ezra in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. Now, the danger in teaching what you have not practiced is very, very severe. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus himself speaking to the disciples, he make it clear that it is very dangerous to teach what you don't practice. He said what?
Matthew chapter 5, verse 19.
Matthew 5:19.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these
least commandments
and shall teach many, so he shall be called the least
in the kingdom of God. You see now, if you don't practice what you teach, it reduces your position in the kingdom. So a time will come that people may be shocked. They have made great impact. They have taught so many people. They have been able to gather so many crowd, and yet in the kingdom, they will not be great because they do not practice what they teach. As a leader, you must first of all seek the word of God. You must practice the word of God, and then you must teach the word of God. So Jesus said, if you don't practice it and you don't teach it, you don't practice it, but you teach it, it reduces the quality of your service. So you will be known as the least, not the great, not the greatest, but the least in the kingdom of heaven. Continue for me.
Okay. So whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments.
He shall be called the least
in the kingdom of heaven.
In the kingdom of heaven.
But whosoever do and teach them, the same shall be called great.
The same shall be called great
in the kingdom of heaven.
In the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So you cannot be a hypocrite. Okay. There are consequences of being a hypocrite, a leader who is not practicing what he's teaching. So first of all, meditate on God's word. Get God's word to fill your spirit man. Begin to practice what you are learning or you have learned, and then teach others. That is the principle that the Lord wants us to follow. So people want to follow someone who has proven to know the way. They see you practicing it, and they see it working for you, obviously, they will follow you. It is automatic. So a leader must be, leaders must be people who can work without supervision. When we say somebody is a leader, not everybody is a leader. Leaders are appointed. Leaders are people who have gone through processes to get to that state, that level. And once you get to that state and that level, then people begin to follow you because you are proven to know the way. Now, then we said leaders must be people who can work without supervision. What does that mean? If you have to be pushed, you have to be pulled. Before you do something, you do not qualify to be a leader. A leader is the one who thinks through matters. They see the problem, but they also see solutions. They don't go after people complaining, trying to let people know there's a problem. Now, when you meet somebody who always talk about problem and have no solution, he is not qualified to be a leader. Once you see problem, you should be able to devise solution for it. That is the quality of leadership. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we don't need to be pushed nor pulled before you can do the work. Leaders are self-starters. They can move with little or no edge. There's something inside them that motivates them. They don't need outward motivation. There is something inside them that motivates them, that push them. And that thing that motivates them and push them is what we call dream or vision. They are driven by visions and dream. It is the dream that push them and motivates them to do a work. So people see, they tend to wonder what is happening. Because in this atmosphere of negativity, this man, this woman is so distracted, is going forward, is focused. What is causing that to happen to that leader is what we call vision. A vision is a dream. Remember, dreamers rule the world. It takes a dreamer to rule the world. If you don't have a dream, you perpetually remain a slave. It takes a dreamer to rule the world. And no wonder Joseph became a leader because he was a dreamer. So you dream solutions when you meet problems. You dream your destination, even though you are not there yet. That is a sign of a good leader. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So they also, so it's a ministry. Now, the ministry is a divine assignment. When you are calling to the ministry, because there are different kinds of leaders. There are leaders, secular leadership, and there is a spiritual leadership. Now, in the spiritual leadership, it's a ministry. When God calls you into leadership, there are people today who think that when you have opportunity to come into leadership, then it's an opportunity to accumulate material wealth. It does not work that way. In ministry, in a spiritual assignment, in a spiritual assignment, if you're a leader, spiritual leader, you must know that it is not a matter of accumulation of wealth. It is all about people, helping people. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is helping people. So it goes beyond accumulation of material wealth or even titles. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you are faithful in the divine assignment that God has called you and have entrusted into your hands, God will make sure that all your needs will be met, both physical and spiritual needs will be met, because that is a commandment, that is a promise that Jesus gave to his disciples. He said, once we seek the kingdom first, all these things shall be added unto us. What things are you thinking about? Cars, houses, wealth, material blessings. God will add them. They are additions. We have not been asked to seek. There's nowhere in the Bible where we were commanded to seek material blessings. We are commanded to seek the kingdom first. Anything that God calls first, we must be very careful to put them first. We can't do it second when God said it should be done first. And so when God called you to seek the kingdom first, you must be willing to seek the kingdom first. And then you will qualify for the promise. The promise is that all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So ministry, we are not in ministry because we want to be famous. We are not in ministry because we want to accumulate material wealth or blessings. We are not in ministry because of titles. We are in ministry because God has called us to help people. So ministry is to provide service that will help and lift others. When you are called a leader, it means that God is expecting you to provide service that will help others and lift others up.
Amen.
Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 22, Luke 22, verse 26 and 27. And I want us to hear what the Bible says in Luke chapter 22, 26 and 27.
Luke chapter 22, 26 and 27.
Yes.
But ye shall not be so.
Ye shall not be so.
But he that is greatest among you.
But he that is greatest among you.
Let him be as the younger.
Let him be as the younger.
And
he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. Eh?
And he that is chief.
And he that is chief.
As he that do serve.
And as he that do serve. So the principle of greatness is that the higher you go, the lower you must become. The higher you go, the lower you must become. When God begins to promote you physically, that is when you need to be very humble. When God chooses you as a leader, that is when you must start going down. Because the higher you go, the principle is that the lower you must become. So Jesus is saying that the principle of the world is different. As for them, they lord it over people. They are domineering. They control. But you must not be so. It must not be so with a Christian leader. A Christian leader must be motivated by service. You must be motivated by service, not to be honored, not to be acknowledged, not to claim certain kind of privileges, but you must be motivated by service. It's very important. It's very crucial. I want you to take note of that. So true leaders must serve the people, wash their feet, and meet their needs. Serve the people, wash their feet, and meet their needs. And that is the true test of greatness. The true test of greatness is your ability to serve the people. So the ability to serve God's people or other people, that is what we call leadership. So nobody can truly serve others unless they have the spirit of submission. You cannot truly serve others until you have the spirit of submission. There is a scripture in James chapter 4, and I want us to read verse 6. The Bible says, God resists the proud. But then there's a, put it in a beautiful way. Let's look at what it says.
James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said. God resisteth the proud. But giveth grace unto the humble.
When people seem tend to be proud, God himself becomes their resistance. God stands in their way. God makes sure they don't proceed. They don't make progress in life. Anybody who allow pride into his life will not make progress in life. But the Bible says more grace is given to the humble. So submission is the key. No one becomes an authority until he's first under authority. You can never become an authority in life until you have first submitted yourself. Now, you know the story of the centurion in the Bible. He came to Jesus, and then he told Jesus that I'm a man of under authority. And I said to one, go, and he goes. And I said to one, come, and he comes. Now, what is he trying to imply? He's teaching us, he was teaching a principle. And what principle was he teaching? You cannot be an authority until you are first under authority. If you cannot serve others, you do not qualify to be served. You cannot be a master until you have become a student. These are the principles of the kingdom. So submission is the key to greatness. Now, there's a scripture that is very, very important. And I want us to take our time to read that scripture. So in the realms of the spirit, the way up is down. And nobody, let me say it again, can rise up to a place of authority if he had not yet submitted to authority. So sometimes in life, God will intentionally place you under authority in order to prepare you to be an authority. And those who do not take advantage and who those who think that they are beyond certain positions, they are beyond certain instructions, and they are not willing to take instruction, learn. I want you to take notice of that. Anyone who go beyond instruction is heading towards destruction. If you go beyond instruction, you are heading towards instruction. Sometimes God will put you under tutors. He will put you under leadership. He will put you under authority in order to prepare you to become an authority. So it is very important to take notice of that. In the book of John chapter 13, verse 3 to 5, John chapter 13, verse 3 to 5. I want us to see an example that Jesus left us.
John chapter 13, verse 3 to 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things.
I want you to take notice of that. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things
into his hand. And that he was come from God.
And he was going to God.
He rises from supper.
Now, that was the time that people begin to lift themselves up. That was the time that Christ sets in. That was the time people begin to boast. What? All things have been placed under me? Do you know who I am? Do you know my qualification? Do you know the kind of things I have gone through? That is when we begin to raise our shoulders up as human beings. But for Jesus, it was different. When he discovered that everything has been placed under him and that he, Jesus, has been acknowledged and approved by the Father and that he is on his way to his Father, what did he do?
Uh-huh. He riseth from supper.
He rises up from supper.
And laid aside his garment.
Lay aside his garment. That garment signifies his title. It signifies his positions in life. It signifies his status. But he laid it aside. And he did what?
And took a towel.
And
gathered himself.
And he gathered himself. And
after that,
poured water into a basin.
And began to wash the disciples' feet.
And begin to serve. When he discovered that he has been elevated, when he discovered that he was carrying great positions and had privileges, when he discovered that his title and status have changed, that was the time he took a towel. He did not take that position. He did not allow that position, reputation, to deprive him of his ability to serve. Reputation is different from reputation is different from integrity. There's a difference between reputation and integrity. They are not the same. What God is after is integrity and not reputation. Reputation is how man sees you, but integrity is how God sees you. What we must lay hold on is integrity and not reputation. Now, Jesus made himself of no reputation because he wanted to serve. And the Bible says he dropped the garment that gave him reputation, the garment that elevates him, the garment that enhances and pronounces his status. He dropped it and he took a towel. In those days, that posture was a posture of a slave. Taking a towel to wash the feet of people was a work of reserve for slaves because they traveled through long deserts, deserts way. And by the time they get to the house, their feet were dirty. And so the slaves in the house, their job is that the first thing they do when a visitor enters the house is to take towel and wash the feet of the visitor. And this was the position Jesus assumed when he discovered he had been so much elevated, when he discovered that so much has been trusted into his hands. He did not look for brand new garments. He removed the one he had down and he put a towel. Will that be our attitude? This is the sign of greatness. You cannot be great until you have been a servant. You must serve before you can become great. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was the example Jesus left for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 tells us that Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. He put upon himself the form of a servant. And that is servanthood by choice. And servanthood by choice is what pleases God. Nobody put him upon him. Nobody forced him to be a servant. He chose to be a servant. He had a reputation, a God kind of reputation. But he thought it not robbery to identify with the God kind of reputation that he had. He dropped that kind of status and he himself put upon himself the form of a servant. Is that the way we are going now? When God chooses you as a leader, humility is a key. Submission is the key if you are to climb the ladder of greatness. God bless you. Thank you very much for allowing me into your space. And I believe that God has spoken to somebody. The Lord increase your grace and the Lord bless you. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for my listeners and those who are watching me online. I ask that, Lord, you reach out to them and you will inculcate in them the spirit of leadership and the spirit of humility and the spirit of service. And I pray that right from today, oh God, a new dream shall be birthed in them. A new ability to serve, the desire to serve others. Because in life, oh God, the best way to live is to live for others. I pray that this grace will be imparted. Thank you, Father, for this one. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Apostle. We are honored and privileged to have you minister to us. Thank you for your words, the words that you're giving to us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like us to read a book of Proverbs chapter number 14, verse 29 from the NIV. So I'm displaying it on the screen right now. Oh, hallelujah. So in the book of Proverbs chapter number 14, verse 29, the Lord says, Whoever is patient has what? Greater understanding. So that's the first part I want to say. Whoever is patient has what? Greater understanding. But one who is quick tempered displays folly. So we are leaders and we are seeking to what? Avail ourselves to be used by what? God and to serve what? His people. So we're asking that the Lord grants us what? Or help us abound in what? The fruit that is referred to as patience. For anytime we are not patient, we tend towards try and go get ahead of ourselves and refuse to what submit and wait for or trust the Lord's time in order to see what our elevation. So today, our main prayer point is that we are asking God to abound. We are asking that God grants us the grace of abounding patience so that we can all trust in the Lord's timing, that our feet will not be in a hurry towards mess God's best for us. For we have understood that everyone who desires to be great ought to be a servant. If that is true, and which it is, then it means that we have to ask for what? Great patience so that we diligently sit and wait for the Lord's best for us. So, and as we are waiting, we are what? Serving. So we are asking God for the grace to abound in patience so that we put in the work. And as we are putting the work, we are what? Trusting in what? His timing. And our feet will not be hurried so that we miss his what? His best for us. So wherever you are, I'd like you to lift up your voice right now. Pray and ask that the Lord grant you what? Patience to what? Serve. Patience to serve. Patience to what? Trust in his timing. Patience to serve. Patience to what? Trust in his timing. Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, sure. So,
okay. Wait.
So, I'm handing over to Sir Nicholas. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. So, today marks the last day of our seminar. And by the grace of God, we've had Prophet Chidozi, we've had Pastor Haydan, and finally, we've had Apostle Bendoku. And we've been greatly impacted by them. I pray and I ask God that whatever that has been planted as a seed into our spirit man shall be there and grow with us. And we shall not only be the hearers of whatever has been said, but we will practice whatever we have been taught in the name of Jesus. So I want you to repeat this after me. Stay with me. In the name of Jesus.
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 In the name, of Jesus.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Even us.
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 We've come.
We've come.
To your presence.
To your presence.
To hear.
To hear.
Your word.
Your word.
Oh God.
Oh God.
We ask.
We ask.
That this word.
That
this word.
Will become a part of us.
That this word.
Become a part of us.
To grow with us.
This word will grow with us.
To grow with us.
This word will grow with us.
This word will grow with us.
This word will grow with us.
Oh God.
Oh God.
God, we ask, oh God, that we shall be great leaders.
Oh God, we ask,
oh God, that we shall be great leaders.
And men shall come to our rising.
And
men shall come to our rising.
Men shall come to our rising.
And men shall come to our
rising. For men to come to our rising.
This is what we declare.
This is what we declare.
For your word says that whatever we see, with our tongue, we declare that this word upon our life,
shall come to pass.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 God bless everybody for joining this seminar. And I'm so grateful and I'm so blessed and I'm humbled by your presence here today. God bless you. So
bless you.
Have a nice day.